Hello, and thank you for listening to Weekend Warriors Hockey, the official podcast of the Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy. Here we are with episode 6 of season 3. Again, if you do have any show topic ideas or any questions, please email us at info@weekendwarriorshockey.com. I'm Austin, and joining me this week, as always, is Rick Parisi. And we are returning a coach from season 1. Ian Silvez is here. He is a goalie coach for the Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy. Rick, how are you doing today?
I'm excellent, Austin. How are you doing?
I am great. Thanks for asking. And Ian, how are you doing?
Doing well, Austin. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, awesome. So we're going to do I've labeled this as Tendy Talk. And we're going to have a quick chat with Ian about some things with goalies as they go to the camps and maybe some other things that he might think are pertinent for adult hockey players. So go ahead and refresh everybody, Ian, if you will, about your collegiate and professional career, as long as how long you have been working with Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy.
Sure. Yeah. I played 4 years of NCAA Division III hockey with Buffalo State College in the SUNYAC Conference. After that, played a couple years pro hockey, including the Southern Professional Hockey League, which is the SPHL. The East Coast Hockey League, ECHL, and then in the Erstliga, at least that's how I'm going to pronounce it. That was over in Budapest, Hungary, and retired after that. I would say I definitely spent at least 4, 5, 6 years maybe since I started coaching with the Weekend Warriors. I think it was right in the middle of my college career is when I got kind of the introduction to this camp and been with it ever since.
Yep. And I think I've run across you a couple of times in Atlanta. Pretty sure last time I was there last year. So gotten to know you a little bit through that as well. So thanks again for joining us. And thanks for kind of getting us up to speed a little bit with some goalie stuff. So we'll jump right in. Rick, anything you want to throw out there before we jump in and start firing questions at Ian?
No, let's hear it from Ian.
All right, cool. So, you know, one of the things we had talked about, trying to always understand are there any common things that when goalies come to camp, you frequently hear that they want to learn, whether it's through the player profile or once you get into camp, kind of what are those things?
Sure. I think the short answer would be everything, but realistically, a lot of the detail parts are basic skating, save selections. So that might include like post integrations or, you know, a butterfly, you know, properly doing certain types of saves. And then also recovery. So a lot of the times goalies especially can make one or two saves or maybe just the first one, and then they can't make that second and third. And we all know in beer league, defense isn't always the best part of the game. So goalies are kind of tasked to make those extra saves, and they just don't know how to get there without panicking. They get a little desperate and they start flopping around like a fish out of water. So it's a lot of the kind of staying controlled, skating. And then sometimes handling one-on-one situations, like breakaways, things like that. A lot of the goalies that come to camp usually pick it up a little bit later, so they never had too much formal coaching. And it's just, they're just rolling the dice out there most of the time and kind of a little trial and error on, you know, what works and what doesn't. So a lot of those one-to-ones and skating and save selections usually you see a lot of.
Hey, Ian. I just had a question. I heard a term that I didn't recognize. Post integration. What was that?
Yeah, post integration. So that's when you see that's like the reverse the RVH or the post knee up on the post. So when the pucks are down low right around the net, on the side of the net, you see all the NHL guys do it almost all the time, but they're also 6'5 and extremely flexible and very good at doing it. So it's a lot of those kind of in tight post plays where you're not falling off the post, that became popular 5 to 10 years ago. Kind of the last big thing after the butterfly became big was post integrations and RVHing.
Gotcha. Thanks.
Yeah. Awesome. So what is it that you guys, as goalie coaches teach that you think, results in the greatest improvement in a goalie's game that you see across camps and even across maybe goalies that have come to multiple camps that you've seen them be able to integrate over time?
Sure. The thing I think I've seen, I'm sure, you know, Kelly'd probably say the same thing, is it's a lot of the basic stance and the fundamental crease movement that we coach that becomes the biggest impact for everything else, because we can't just talk about the fun things like the breakaway saves and two pad stacks and all those kind of fun things that goalies do want to talk about, but it's being able to increase the efficiency with knowing actually how to stand the proper stance and being balanced. You know, even basic skating stuff like making a normal shuffle or a T push. It's not just how quickly do we push, but it's, are we getting stopped quickly and getting set for to make the actual save, rather than, oh, are we just making a big fast push and not being square or on angle and all those other things. So it's just a lot of the fundamental work, because when you improve that, you increase your efficiency, which you're also one saving energy, which is huge, especially for a lot of the beer league games where we're not all in the best shape working out 7 days a week. It's, you want to save energy, be as efficient as possible, and actually increasing your speed by being sometimes doing less work. And that's a lot of the things that happens. It's a lot less work than we make it most of the time.
Yeah. So that's definitely one of those things you think that you guys actually see over the course of a camp or over the course of a couple of camps that guys are able to do quite a bit.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, even, in, you know, we always say like, it's when I try to coach this, it's trying to give them the tools that they can use when they're not there, because obviously if not there, we're for a weekend. And just even seeing somebody through 4 days, let alone seeing them next year and another 4 days, the things that they've worked on are like, hey, this was huge last time. I worked on this and it's so much better. And then all of a sudden now we're trying to work on that next thing together. So it's being able to give them things that they can work on by themselves and kind of almost coach themselves a little bit too when they're not at the camp helps them a ton. And it is pretty impressive to see some goalies that have never had real coaching and all of a sudden they're winning championships and things like that because they have something to actually improve on and they're not just guessing anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So that kind of covers the stuff that you see them get better at, that they probably want to get better at. What are those things that they learned that maybe they weren't expecting to learn and to get better at when they come to camp? You know, kind of those things they didn't even know they didn't know.
I love that question. It's, I think sometimes a lot of the things are, everyone hears like, oh, I have to be on angle or be square or have good depth in the crease. But sometimes it's really learning what the puck sees. And I know it got, that kind of gets into the video talks and stuff like that too. But the real thing is most of them don't realize what the puck can actually see compared to what we think the puck can see. And just sometimes like our angles and when our hips are, if our hips are really square to the puck or not, or is our only our hands and chest square to the puck? So it's very different of what we think we know in a sense compared to once we really see the feedback on some of the stuff. And all of a sudden it's like I see the light bulb go off, and you know, for the goalies in this camp or younger goalies I've worked with in the past, it's amazing when you see that because everything starts to change once they realize why you're doing something. And I think that's the biggest thing is it's not so much just, oh, here, listen to a goalie coach because they played at a higher level. It's why am I doing this? And once I understand why and then they see it work, it becomes night and day. And that's the biggest thing is just having angles, like good hand positioning. A lot of goalies hold their hands, their gloves way too high or way too close to the body. And it makes our lives a lot easier when we understand how we should do that and how to be more efficient.
Yeah. And that kind of leads into the next thing that we wanted to talk about, because you were talking about, you know, what the puck sees and things like that, is the value of video review as you guys are going through this learning process over the period of the weekend.
Right. And I think the value, so one of the biggest things with the video is, I mean, I use it all the time when I was playing, right? Like I had coaches using video on me too, and it's so important. And especially when you're doing it in a drill situation and almost like that intimate one-to-one coaching, is that you really break down what the puck can see, the angles, the holes that some goalies have. And the biggest thing is, I mean, we have goalies all different sizes, shapes, heights, everything, flexibility. So what might be prominent with one goalie isn't going to be prominent with the other goalie at the camp too. So being able to use video makes sure we can kind of delineate and be very non-cookie cutter and very be like, okay, this is where you have holes and how will you fix it? Bam, we move your hands. We might need to bring your knees together, whatever you have to do. And so the video doesn't lie. And I think that's one thing that can help a lot too, is that sometimes when we don't have an actual coach, it's very easy for us to try to rationalize why something's happening. But if you can see it on the video, it's very obvious. And especially down from the puck's view and not from a skater's view up high, it's like, well, everything just starts to make sense. And then all of a sudden pucks just start hitting us more, which is really what we try to work on a lot, is just let the puck come to us. So definitely video is crucial on that, because otherwise, if I were trying to make these adjustments without the video, people would be like, is this guy crazy? Like, what are you talking about? So video is so important.
Yeah. And I don't know if Rick would agree or not, but it's probably very similar to the players when you watch the video of your skating, because you only do it for a very, what, Rick, 20 seconds per skater. But then we do a video review on our stride and our stops and all that kind of stuff. And it's probably the most humbling part of the whole camp.
Yeah. I mean, one of the, yeah, that's right. I mean, it's like, you're never as good as you think you are when you're skating, but the difference with the goalies is the amount of video they get, right?
Exactly. That's kind of where I was going.
Yeah. I mean, the skaters, you have that, you know, you're doing your stride and, you know, the coaches will talk about it for 5 minutes, but like on Saturday, we do the scrimmage video review. So it's not an individual thing as much as a game thing. But with the goalies, I mean, they've got 2 days where they're spending an hour or sometimes more with the goalie coach. And let's say there's 4 or 5 goalies, so they're going through not only seeing their own, but they're seeing each other's, right? And it's kind of cool because, you know, I work, when I'm at camp, I'm working with the goalie coach, I'm working with Ian or Mike. And I'll shoot, or, you know, we'll pass and then shoot, that type of thing. And when a goalie is lined up in the right position, especially if it's a bigger person, you know, like, it's really hard to score, right? Like, there's not much to shoot at, right? As opposed to, you know, like sometimes the beginning of camp, I'm like, I'm constantly like pointing, you need to get over to your left or to your right, because I realize they're lined up on me and not on the puck. And so they, over the course of the camp, they kind of figure that out, and it becomes much harder to score on them, of course, which I guess is the goal. The goal for me is to score, but the goal for them is to get better and not have us not score. So yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. And I don't know if anybody who's listening caught it, but Ian threw out Deli, which is Mike Delaverne, who was supposed to come on with us. He's been unable to make it, but I wanted to talk to you maybe a little bit about something we talked about last season when we had him on, which was how you guys are able to effectively teach multiple goalies who, as you mentioned, are different sizes, different capabilities, even different playing styles. You know, how do you specifically, you know, when you're the goalie coach, make sure you tailor what you're trying to teach them, and obviously your knowledge and background, for people that are very different, you know, that are playing goalie with a different style, different size, different capabilities, you know, and what challenges that brings for you as a coach.
Sure. I think in some ways it kind of comes back to the core principles of just kind of some basic stuff from their technique. And then we can kind of get into also like the strategy or the tactical side of goaltending and more like the mental abilities. Because covering all that is like, if you can get a goalie to be balanced, at least in all areas, they're going to be pretty good. And then they can always start to double down on the things they're very good at. And then also start to try to minimize some of the things that are weaknesses for them in their own game. So really the focus on, and that's a good question, is because it is kind of challenging in some ways, especially if there's goalies that you haven't worked with yet. You know, you kind of get to camp and you got to assess that pretty quickly on, you know, are we good skaters? Are we balanced? You know, are we struggling? Are we, you know, do our knees hurt when we're dropping down? Sometimes it's even just, are we wearing our equipment properly? I mean, there's some things that people don't even think about and we can help with. So, you know, I basically try to make everything as easy as possible, because it's so easy when you have done it at different levels and been coached by different people to make it extremely complicated. But I think from going to a camp setting like this, it's all about breaking it down. And I break it down in a couple ways, but one of them is, you know, if we don't have pucks going through us or under us and we're not getting beat on a straight shot, so not like a screen or a tip or a backdoor rebound, but if we have those three things happening, you're going to be very good. Like, you're most time you're going to be a very good goalie. And then we have to just work on, okay, how do we get ourselves into, you know, those urgent or desperate plays where we start stealing a couple saves for the team too. And that's what takes you from being a good goalie to a, you know, a top level goalie. So that's really like kind of what I reiterate the whole time during the camp, is saying, we don't have to overcomplicate this. This is all we're trying to make happen. And then we start breaking it down to your point about the size and different skill levels is, you know, some goalies are more flexible and they want to do post integrations and they're used to it and they can do it. Other times it's all about showing them how to do certain things just so it's in their toolbox. And then if they want to work on it on their own, they can. And I think that's the difference too, is we don't spend too much time on, you know, perfecting one skill set. We make sure we cover everything. And then when we watch them in their own drills, that's where we kind of give them the tailored advice to, hey, I know you said you're not going to do an RVH. So here you got to overlap and you got to make sure you don't get caught on the post. Or I know you want to do an RVH, but you're doing it at the bad time to do it. So it, then you start tailoring the advice when they're more in game scenarios. But otherwise, when we're trying to work on drills, it's all about simplifying the game and then making sure that we're building each technique on top of each other without forgetting the other things we did first.
Yeah. Awesome. So this is kind of going to be two parts. One is the, what do you recommend as a goalie for, because we don't get to practice, we don't get to have all these strategies usually as, you know, adult league players and all that kind of stuff. But do you have anything you throw out there for advice and tips for forwards and defensive players to help you as a goalie be more successful? And then once you're done with that, I've got kind of the opposite. If you want to give away some trade secrets as a goalie for the rest of us can beat the goalies. So anyway, how do we help you first of all, as a goalie, maybe some fundamental things you think of as a goalie that your teammates kind of need to know, every time you're out on the ice?
Well, I think the first one's, it's kind of a dirty word when it comes to, adult hockey, but it's called backchecking. That's probably the first thing that we can do to help our goalies out is just make sure we come back into play and do something productive.
Okay, you know, let's be serious though. Something that we could really do.
Yeah, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Okay, well, that was the pie in the sky idea.
All right, he's shooting for the stars.
Yeah. Okay, so let's make it a little more pragmatic here.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Really, the biggest thing is just communication. I think that's by far the easiest thing that anybody can do to help out is just making sure. You know, if the goalie knows that you're covering somebody, then they can start focusing on their priority of taking the shooter. Or if there's a backdoor person, just listening when the goalie does say, hey, like there's a guy there, don't just ignore him. And then besides that, just basic things like clear rebound here and there, just swat it away. At least give the goalie time to get up and get back and try to be a goalie again. Those are really some basic stuff. And I think communication by far is the biggest, because without that, being a goalie feels a lot like you're on an island when you're on a team that isn't talking to you, especially in the D zone and the team's buzzing around and you just get lost. And it's so easy to just feel by yourself there. So communication's huge. And then at least, you know, if you're on a team that plays pretty regularly, which most people that come to camp are, I know we're not practicing every week or anything, but they're at least have some kind of an idea of like, in these situations, I'd prefer if we did this, or hey, we're going to do this. So at least the goalie can prepare. So just having some, I wouldn't call it like a system. I don't want to sound ridiculous, right, but just having some things where everyone's on the same page, easiest way to do it for sure.
Yeah. I guess that leads me to a quick thought here. When you're playing collegiately and professionally, and you can hear it sometimes if you watch NHL games, defensemen or goalies talking to each other, and sometimes how loud you have to be to do that. And I know it's a personality, it's probably a personality type on both sides of that, but you know, what would you say your experience is with that? And do you talk about that kind of stuff at camps with making sure your goalies are vocal and kind of things to call, you know, them to do or anything like that? So
absolutely. Yeah. That I like the thing you said, mentioned with like the volume too. That's a huge part of it. And especially, you know, you're playing high level college or pro games. I mean, the arenas themselves can be so loud. You have to literally be screaming at the top of your lungs for anybody to hear you. But it is something that we do similar to our video sessions. We have chalk talk sessions too. And we really like to talk about, you know, on our end, how do we communicate well, you know, whether it's helping with somebody dumps the puck in and we're just helping communicate on if they have time or not, which direction to go. And that kind of talk is so critical, because sometimes the best way to be a goalie is to make sure we can get the puck out of our zone without having it be a hiccup. So it's a huge part of it.
I grew up playing a different sport, and I grew up playing soccer, and there's a lot of communication that happens in soccer. And I've been shocked over the years that I played hockey, how little sometimes people talk to each other, and how sometimes rarely you even get told there's somebody coming on you or that you have time or you have space. Exactly. Or all that kind of stuff. And I don't know if that's just, you know, who I play with and where I've played, but I was always used to a lot of talk, you know, and very usually goalies who talked a lot to all their field players because they can see a lot more than you can.
Exactly.
A lot of times they're able to do that. And you guys can provide the same thing. Luckily right now, our goalie and our men's league team is very vocal. And he's really good at pointing out stuff to us and at least trying to make sure we know what's going on. So cool. So let's kind of jump back to, if it's all right, if you want to give away any trade secrets as a player trying to, you know, put the puck past you, what kind of things would you say are kind of bread and butter stuff as a shooter or whatnot to look for as we're trying to beat the goalie?
Sure. Yeah. From a shooting standpoint or like a playmaking standpoint, anytime you can get the puck to go across the slot line is massive. I mean, there's a ton of NHL statistics on that. It's very difficult for a goalie to move that far and stay with the play at speed. And what you think about too is the goalie actually has to rotate and be square to a whole different direction and get to the angle. So there's a lot more that's involved for that. And it's very difficult for goalies to move. From a shooting standpoint, you know, changing the angle when you're about to shoot the puck is one of the basics. If you're skating with that puck, shooting cross grain. So if you're skating left or right and you're shooting back to where you came from, that's very difficult for goalies to make a save on because they're using that back leg to push them to stay on your angle. So if they're loading up that leg and pushing and you time that very well, it's almost impossible for a goalie to get back and stop and change directions or reach back because they're too far going the other way. And other than that, I think really prioritizing, and you can see the NHL game too, is it's insane, is prioritizing the release of the shot over, you know, just pure the power and the strength of the shot. Like the speed of it, if a goalie can see the puck, I mean, it has to be an absolute cannon to still beat the goalie. The biggest thing is if the puck can come off the stick blade without the goalie even picking that up until it's quarter way to them, I mean, that's how goal scorers are just picking spots. And sometimes it's just knowing where to go. I even think sometimes opening up goalies' legs, there's, you know, five hole is almost becoming the new top corner in some ways because the amount of finesse that guys can have on a one-on-0 play on a breakaway and squeak it through a goalie's legs these days, they're so quick with their hands that goalies don't even know what's happening.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're shooting like low blocker that I'd say 12, well, pads now are 11 inches wide. So 12 to 14 inches off the ice on either side, those are probably the hardest saves to make because it's such an awkward position for goalies to be in. And everyone wants to go top corner as if, you know, far down counts as two goals. It still counts as one. So make sure we get some shots on that.
Yeah.
That's not 2-point land?
No, it's not. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Would you add creating traffic as something as well?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Anytime, I mean, changing direction, you know, with a tip or a deflection and just screening the goalie is huge. I didn't bring that up because sometimes people don't want to get hit with a puck when they have to go back to work the next day, but you know, sometimes it happens. And but yeah, if a goalie can't see the release, I mean, the ability for them to miss just so quickly, it's, and it's funny too, because you can sometimes even use the other team's defensemen. Sometimes they don't know that they're right in line with their goal and goalie. And you don't even have to have your own forward trying to screen anybody. You can just use their player and just rip it right through them.
Yeah. I'm guilty of that all the time. I know Rick and Rob do not block shots. That's been established. I don't mind doing it. And oftentimes I get in trouble because I'm in the goalie's way. So I get yelled at, but
yeah.
I don't know. I'm not going to stop doing it, but I won't back check. I'm not going to back check. Don't worry about that.
We'll draw the line.
Austin, I won't block shots, but I will stand in front of the goalie on offense. Like,
yeah, exactly. And,
know, so I'm not trying to block a shot. I'm right. I'm trusting my teammate to not shoot it like at my neck.
I find it to be the funnest place to be. I absolutely love.
Yeah.
It's so much fun to me to kind of create that havoc in front of the goalie.
It's so hard to get players to do that though.
I know.
Because we do it at camp all the time. We play a game. Yep. And the idea is to screen the goalie and they're always standing off to the side. And it's like, we try to tell them like now they see two goalies, like you're not helping get in front of the goalie.
They all think they're like Chris Kreider and they're just going to reach across the crease and past him with this stick. So that's not going to happen. So okay. Awesome. Well, thanks for giving up some secrets there. So Okay. I got a couple more that I want to ask just to get it out there. White tape versus black tape on the shooter. Does it matter? Do you pick up the puck differently off white tape or black tape?
I don't think it really matters. I know that was a big thing a while back. And I guess the only possibility is poorly lit rink and traffic in front where there's no contrast, maybe. But I mean, if any goalie's blaming it on a stick tape, they probably shouldn't be a goalie. That's just a tough love moment of the day.
I don't know. I've seen some goofy stuff online about it.
Yeah.
And then you go look at, okay, let's look at what's Connor McDavid using. Oh, he's got white tape. What's,
Exactly.
What are these guys who are scoring, you know, some are black tape, some are white tape, some change, you know, Al Sovechkin, white tape. But anyway, okay, cool. And the other one would be coming in on a breakaway. Any advice for a shooter as far as if the goalie's deep in the crease versus coming out, what they should do? So let's say they're out up top of the crease, move or shoot?
Good question. So if the goalie's out top of the crease, when they're kind of entering that zone on a breakaway situation, is change your lateral angle as quickly as you can.
Okay.
Especially if they're coming out to challenge you still.
Yeah.
If you can get any lateral angle change, that's when you're going to make the biggest gap. So anything that you do after that, it's only going to augment their angle being off.
Yeah.
So changing the angle as quickly as you can early on.
So if they're out,
right,
they've cut down the number of the size of the holes effectively between the puck and the goal. So they're cutting down all that. So if you can make them move or, you know, in this case, make a move, you're going to create a better scoring opportunity.
Right.
If they're staying deep or they're in the blue paint or they're deep in their net, what would you recommend?
Right. I would try to get to a grid A area. So get around the hash marks, get in the slot. You might even back them up a little bit more too if you increase your speed a little bit.
Yeah.
And then shoot to score at that point. Yeah.
Making a move when they're already back in the crease is a little bit self-defeating, isn't it?
In some ways. And I mean, really the biggest thing there would be maybe like a little bit of a fake snapshot or something just to kind of get their knees to lock up. Sometimes that'll happen, or they'll drop early because they know they don't have the positioning. They'll just drop early because they don't know what else to do.
Then you create holes other places. So cool. All right, Rick, I've kind of dominated the questions here. What do you got?
I just had one question that I thought of when Ian was talking about the side-to-side movement. So isn't it true now that they've changed the whole idea of, like, it used to be goalie skates had a really shallow cut, like maybe 3/4, 1 inch radius, and now they're going deeper because they want to bite and get across. Is that right? Do goalies show up, you know, with skate radiuses that don't match their playing style?
Oh yeah. So it is true that the goalie skates usually, I mean, if you still go to some skate shop and say, I want a goalie cut, they'll probably still give you like a half inch radius on it, or half inch hollow, I guess is what I would say. But the biggest thing is that there's been a huge, just with the importance of holding your feet and your edges, and the importance of skating now that the game's gotten faster and faster over the last few decades, that goalies almost, I mean, I know ones that would skate with 3/8, which is what most skaters would play with. And I think the biggest thing is just being able to bite in and get to where you need to be so that you can make that save is so much more important. A lot of the shuffles and leaving your feet, that was kind of the blocking butterfly era, like J.S. Chiguer, like early 2000s and stuff. That's just, it's too slow, and you just don't, you waste a lot of energy, especially that the goalies that power push or they slide around on their knees, is they don't get enough bite into the ice. And so it's definitely true on that side, but that's still a personal preference. I mean, some goalies still are just old school, and they would almost roll their ankles and catch an outside edge, which we don't want to be on as a goalie. So sometimes it's still fine to be a little bit more dull with the skates there. But it does depend a little bit. And to your point about some goalies showing up, but sometimes that is a big problem, is that they don't sharpen their skates, and they just don't know the importance of it. And it's not even so much making the saves. It's just that they're so gassed at the end of the game because they're doing 3 times the work, because their skates just slide like butter knives on the ice first before it does anything. So their energy expenditure is just so much higher than it should be. So sometimes it's not just stopping the puck, but trying to stay a little bit more efficient too.
Yeah. I think, Rick, would you, have you seen any, or talk to anybody. I think player skates are kind of going the opposite way as far as their hollows. They're starting to get shallower and shallower, like towards an inch, inch and a quarter. You know, I've read some stuff that, you know, there's kids coming out of Sweden and stuff like that, that are on like inch and a quarter, which I think for most people who've grown up playing hockey and maybe are our age would be shocked that a player would have, you know, that shallow of a cut. But anyway, just wondering.
Yeah, no, I have heard that. And, you know, I don't, an inch and a quarter sounds very shallow, but
I mean, I'm at basically a 3/4, which most people would say is insane. But I find it to be kind of perfect at this point for me. So
I find that most people don't know what they skate on.
That's like, the other thing. Yeah. Most people, yeah,
I
don't
know. I had a guy the other day. And he said, oh, I got my skate charm. I think they're too sharp. I go, what'd you get them at? You know, what hollow did you get? He goes, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like he had no idea.
Well, that's the other thing. Sharp is not the point. They're all going to be sharp. It's the, it's the bite, which is the thing. I've had guys, and I have my own sharpener and I sharpen for some people. And they'll get them and like, oh, it's too sharp. And they start slamming their skates on the, you know, on the entry to the door. I'm like, that's not how this works. It's not about your skates being sharp. You have the wrong hollow.
It's right.
Don't dull your, you know, roll your edges and stuff like that by cramming them on the, you know, go walking on concrete or something. But anyway, that's just not how it works.
If anybody wants to know more about that, we do have an article on our blog. Yeah. If you go onto our website on the blog page, and go back, you should be able to find an article on skate hollow.
Yeah.
Explains that.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, cool. I mean, at this point, Ian, anything else you want to, you know, want to bring up that you want to talk to, you know, goalies that are listening out there or even players, about, you know, what we should know about goalies.
I think the only thing to bring up really additionally is just like the structure of the camp. And I think that's one of the things that leads to a lot of success for the goalies, especially is because it's so much, And Rick did kind of talk to it. We have a lot of video time, which is helpful, obviously. But there's also the off-ice conversations of just the strategies and the tactical side, the mental side of the game that's so important. Just having those kind of conversations and then even just having time for, you know, their questions. Sometimes it's not about me telling them what they need, but they have questions that they just don't know who else to talk to, or they read 5 different things online. So that kind of one-on-one time is so important too. And then talking about what we actually are doing on the ice is that we spend so much time together in the beginning, especially working on those fundamentals. And then we slowly get more integrated with the players as we keep going. So not only is it that we work on skills and we talk about most of them before we actually try them on the ice, which is helpful. But besides that, it's they start to see more and more shots from players where they can really implement and apply. I mean, we could read something out of a book all day, but if we don't know how to apply it, it really doesn't mean too much. So I think that's the difference where they start to realize, you know, what works for them. And then they start to build the confidence with that, because all the stuff too, if they're not comfortable and they're not confident with it, they're not going to go back and try it in games, and they're not going to keep trying to do it. And all of a sudden it's lost. And that's one of the things that I love so much about the camp structure is that we get a lot of time to work on things. We build the fundamental up. Now we can start working on a little bit more complexity, put it to the test. It's kind of a stress test in a sense, see where, you know, where it's working, where it's not, and then adjust it as we need to. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I think the camp does so well is it gives us enough time, but it also lets them apply it with actual players and game and mini game scenarios too throughout the weekend. And I think that gives them a lot of different shots, a lot of different looks, and it really helps the goalies especially kind of build their confidence around their game.
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys get to do, you know, when we do the small sided games and stuff like that, where goalies involved, you get the same advantage that the players do with those tightly controlled, you know, hopefully quick moving. And they're having to make those decisions, I think maybe a little bit quicker than you might get in a game, which is the whole point. So
absolutely.
Awesome. So are you coaching any upcoming camps? You got any that you're going to coach with?
Yeah, I think I have Seattle. I just had Buffalo a week or so ago, and then I think I have Austin, Texas left. And I feel like
there's more. Ann Arbor, I hope.
Ann Arbor too. Yep. Ann Arbor.
Rick's like, you're on the schedule, man.
Yeah. You got the flights, man. You better wake up, bud.
All right. Well, for those goalies out there who are listening, who may be going to one of those camps, you get to, if you haven't already met Ian, you'll get to see him there for those camps. So, well, thanks, Ian, so much.
Absolutely.
For joining in here. And Rick, we'll do a real quick, if you want to, maybe where we are in June with camps, what's kind of coming up for the next 6 weeks or so.
First, I'm going to use the opportunity that Ian gave me by talking about how extensive and comprehensive the goalie program is to answer one common goalie question I get all the time is, how much is the camp for goalies? Because they just can't seem to find the goalie discounted price on the website. And the answer is, it's the same price. And it should be double, because in most cases, the goalies are getting way more attention than the skaters. Yeah. Thanks, Ian, for going through that, because that is, a good representation of what they get at the camp. As far as the June camps go, so we had our camps the beginning of the month, one in Buffalo and one in Cape Cod. And next week, today is June 16th. So next week we will be in Vail. So a week from today, the 23rd. And then we got a couple weeks off with the 4th of July. And then we go in July, we have Ann Arbor, Michigan, Southern California, and Seattle, our first camp ever in Seattle. Awesome. And those camps are all, Seattle's a hard sellout with a waiting list, but the other ones, like Ann Arbor, is almost sold out. And I think Southern California has some space, but yeah.
Okay.
All good.
Awesome. So. Cool. All right. Well, fellas, Ian, one last shout out to you. Anything else you want to talk about or anything? Otherwise, we'll kind of close this out here.
No, that was awesome. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Yeah, man, of course. And Rick, any last thoughts before we head?
I just want to say thanks for Ian. And obviously we've did a pretty long podcast here, so we obviously didn't need Deli. So I'm just going to throw him right under the bus.
Yeah.
And back it up. Yeah. Boop, boop.
Right. Well, maybe, if there's interest and we want to, like I said, we can get Deli on too and, kind of get his thoughts on that stuff, but it's always good to, you know, cause people always tell me goalies are people too, but it's always good to have at least one per season, with the goalies, always trying to get inside their head, which is a scary place.
You don't want to be there too often.
Yeah, it's all good. So, all right. Well, awesome. Well, thanks, fellas. Appreciate you joining in today. And thanks to all listeners for checking us out. If you're listening and you do have any ideas or any questions, please shoot them over info@weekendwarriorshockey.com. And if you can share us with a friend, that would be awesome. And give us 5-star Apple Podcast reviews if you like the show. Otherwise, keep working hard every time you're on the ice.